I'd like to welcome Justin Johnson to the Coach's Edge podcast, head women's basketball coach, Hartsville, South Carolina. Coach, it's been good to get to know you over the past few years, coaching at some different events for your players. And, you know, one thing that I love about you is just truly an advocate for your girls and your team, an advocate for the game of basketball, especially women's basketball overall and in the state of South Carolina. But before we dig into all the fun stuff, what's your player comp? It could be men's game, women's game, former player, current player. How would you describe your own game?
So a little bit about me growing up, Reggie Miller was my guy. So I like to shoot three. I guess my players probably love that about me. We want to shoot the three ball a little bit. So I love Reggie Miller because he always had a motor that never quit. He was highly efficient. And no matter how much people tried to game plan for him, he still would go out there and just get it done. And he's probably the frailest thing out there. I know everybody falls in love with Steph Curry for probably the same reasons, but Reggie was that guy before there was Steph Curry.
Very good. I like that. I like that. You know, it's one thing to know what's coming. It's another thing to stop it.
Right.
And that's a good example of Reggie Miller. It's like, you know, you better get your sleep the night before and get a good meal, because you're going to be running a lot and you're going to be in trouble. Coach, tell us about some of your coaching experiences. You know, you've coached at the collegiate level, different levels at the high school level. And then, you know, how has that benefited you from a coaching standpoint with where you are today?
So I started out when I was a junior in high school at Manning High School. Under a Hall of Fame coach at the time by the name of John Thames. He had about 800 wins or better by the time we crossed paths. But what I loved about Coach was he gave me, as a junior in high school, a voice in his practices. And so that's kind of been something that I've taken with me as a head coach. So when I have assistants that come in, the biggest thing I stress to them is you have a voice, use it. You either use it or you lose it is basically how that goes. But from Manning, I went on to Newberry College, where I was a student assistant for both the men and the women's programs there. Learned a ton there at that level, just the pace of play, the expectations, the daily grind. And then from there, I've been a head coach at the JV level at Dorman High School. I've been a varsity head coach a number of times. My goal was to be a head coach by the age of 30, and I think by the time I was 29, I'd been a head coach three or four times. So I've kind of been in the game for a long time, even though in the state I'm still seen as one of the younger coaches. I just turned 35 this year, but I've been around the block, and I kind of find myself in a unique position because I'm young. In comparison to a lot of the coaches in the state, I feel like I'm kind of in that middle where I can be that bridge, you know, where I can hopefully help some newer coaches get into the business, but also help some of the older coaches understand some of these newer coaches that are coming into the business. So it's a pretty unique position.
And I mean, you're in a great spot, Hartsville, South Carolina. And for, you know, I had the chance to run a shooting camp with your program last summer. And when I walked into that gym, it reminded me of Indiana. Right. I lived in Indiana for a year, and one of the nicest high school gyms you're going to find down here. It's just got that big college atmosphere when you step into that. I hate to even call it a gym. It's like an arena when you walk in there, not just from the standpoint of how many people that can fit in there, but just the vibe, right? How it's set up, the bleachers, the spacing.
Right.
Everything is super cool. So, and you're obviously doing a great job in Hartsville with your program. Tell us a little bit about this past season.
So we finished 21-8 this past season. I think the 21 wins was the most in over 30 years, I'm almost certain. So we had a great season. I genuinely felt like we had a contender this year. This was the first season where I looked and I said, hey, I don't know how far we go, but I think we got a shot. We ended up losing the second round to Ridgeview, really good team. They had a lot of size on their roster, but the fight that we showed in that game, I was very proud of. And we're not like, I tell people, we're not going to be a flashy team. We're just going to come in and try to grind you and outwork you. And that was kind of our MO. We were a little better defensively this year as well as offensively. But I thought the pieces all worked well together.
And so explain a little bit of how in the state of South Carolina you have to qualify to make the playoffs. You have to actually have a very good basketball season in order to get into one of the teams that makes it. In fact, a lot of teams, when you see the season finishes up and, they'll put, state qualifier, playoff qualifier just on there because that's such a big deal. Talk about how that's different than, most any other state.
Well, in some states you have a lot of people who everybody goes, right? And they might go to a sectional, divisional, whatever you may call it, and then they kind of go from there. But the top four teams get in from each region in our state. 4A is very unique because we have what we call the at-large process. So you could have a region that gets five or in some cases six teams into the playoffs. But it is one of those things where the region play dictates most of it. I think there are some states where they do reward strength of schedule and those types of things. We are transitioning to that next year. I'm actually happy that that's finally coming because someone like me who takes pride in playing a tough schedule, I used to always think, wow, we kind of get overlooked a little bit because our record may not be as sexy because we actually will go out there and play against some tough teams. And then there are some people who I just consider they play a watered down schedule and it seems like they get all of the high rankings and these types of things. But so I'm glad to see that coming to South Carolina. I think it's long overdue. It'll actually, make people be a little more strategic about how they schedule and who they schedule and how does their opponent stack up against their schedule. So that all comes into play.
I like that. I wish, coming from, I mean, I'm from Michigan, lived in Ohio, lived in Indiana, Midwest, everybody makes the playoffs. It's like a fresh, it's a fresh start, right? And each state does things differently as far as seedings. It could be computer rankings, it could be like a coach's poll. There's different ways that they get into the state tournament, but everybody gets into the state tournament. And I've always liked that because it's like, hey, maybe you had a good team, but you had a lot of injuries. Maybe you started to find your rhythm later in the season. And so, hey, the ball is rolled out. Everybody's 0-0, and it's kind of a fresh season. So I hope, because in South Carolina, correct me if I'm wrong, coach, only 32 teams in each, you have 1A up to 5A, only 32 teams make the playoffs, correct?
That's correct. And actually, with the restructuring of the classes, I think there are some classes that have exactly 32. So everybody will make the playoff in those classes. So it's going to be different, but I think different's good. I think it helps grow the game. I think it allows us to really think about why we do what we do. And I'm always a big fan of the why, why are we doing it this way? And can we do it better? And so I have not been bashful about that. I think that the game can grow in South Carolina, and it takes just some people willing to do it.
Well, that transitions very well into one of our main topics for this conversation, and that's state of the girls' game, state of the women's game. And you mentioned the downward trend in our email of participation. What are some of the reasons why you think basketball participation in the girls' game is down in South Carolina? And then, let's talk about some things we may be able to do about it.
I wish I had the answer as to why it's trending down, but we've seen this coming for a while now. When I got to Hartsville 6 years ago, the national numbers showed that there was a steady decline happening. So it's not unique to South Carolina, but it is unique to girls basketball when it comes to just this steady trend downward. Now you're hopeful with the women's game growing at the collegiate level that trickles and more young ladies want to get into the game, but I think that's where it's not happening is at the rec levels. We're just not getting enough participation. I can say here in Hartsville, we may have five or six young ladies that come out for our rec league, and so a lot of times they end up getting put on a team with the boys. Well, that's not always the best experience for them. So if they're not having the best experience at the rec level, then it makes it a little harder to get them at the middle school level. And so you're fighting this uphill battle almost from the start. And so some things I've done here just to be creative is, our eighth graders, when they're transitioning to the ninth grade that summer, I call parents. I've called parents and said, hey, we want them here in the gym with us in June, And so I did notice when we did that, we didn't lose as many of our kids in the transition. I think actually we got every kid that first summer that I did it. So we didn't lose a single kid in the transition, but it's just one of those things. In Hartsville, I feel like if we get them to the just to our program, JV or varsity, we tend to keep them. Our kids that come straight to varsity, we keep them at a higher rate, for sure. But at the end of the day, it's just tough at times because we're not seeing this emphasis, we're not seeing this push for girls basketball like you might see for cheer or for softball or for volleyball. Those are big in our area, but we're not getting that same push for basketball.
I think that you're right. There is no, if we knew the answer, it would this wouldn't be an issue, right? I think the fact that you're being proactive, you're reaching out and talking to parents, talking to players, trying to keep them involved. One thing I've always respected about you is you're not the in-season coach. You're a year-round coach because if you want to do this at a high level as a varsity basketball coach, you have to support your kids throughout the course of the year, right? If a kid goes to an exposure camp or there's an award out there, I see you on Twitter and you retweet and you make a comment of, you're proud of your girls and you're proud of your program. And you see that throughout the course of the year instead of being a coach who, hey, okay, it's October. It's basketball season. All right. Okay, it's end of February, season's over. I'll see you back in again in October, right? And so being somebody who's always pushing, 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 pushing in a positive way is big. And if we don't have more coaches doing that, those girls are going to go somewhere else.
I
They're
agree.
going to go somewhere else where they feel valued, right? Where there is somebody who say, hey, come to us, come to us. Like we care about you. We want you involved, right? I'm not going to show love to you, 4 or 5 months out of the year, right? You're a part of our culture, a part of our family. You do that, which is no doubt why you've been able to keep players involved within your program. When you think of basketball at the youth level for girls, you mentioned it a little bit, and that's where I'm at. My oldest daughter, she played in the Myrtle Beach City League, which was all girls, had a very good experience, and she enjoyed, being able to play with girls because up to that point, she'd been playing co-ed with a 3-on-3 league that I direct. And she had a good time, not as much fun as when she was playing with the girls, right? Then she went back, she played in a 3-on-3 tournament a couple weeks ago. She was the only girl, and she hated it. I mean, she was crying and she kind of felt like she was invisible a little bit. And I see this as two things. One, we want to get more girls involved. But two, I think as parents, we need to teach our kids, right? Whether you're a boy, you're a girl, like you're a basketball player. If you're on the court, you're a basketball player, right? That's gender free, right? And so if I see you, right? I'm gonna pass the basketball to you. I'm going to, defend you. Like we're gonna play because it's basketball and we're playing as a team and we're trying to win. That's where it's at. And so I think part of that is just how are we, raising our kids, specifically boys, right? Who can still get like, oh, girls aren't can't be as good. Listen, I watch Caitlin Clark, right? I watch Reese. I watch Bukers. I mean, you name Juju. I mean, you name it. I mean, these. I had somebody come and tell me like, how good? Because I had a chance to train a McDonald's All-American, Grace Van Sluten. She plays for Oregon now. And this guy comes up. He's like, what do you think? I could play as good as her. And I'm like, dude, no, she would destroy you. What are you talking about? Like, because she's a woman. Like, you think that she get like? I'm like, you are destroyed. Like, what are you talking about? You have no idea how good she is. Like, so anyway, I apologize for for the
No,
frat.
it's good, man, because like in Hartsville, the last, I want to say 2, maybe 3 years, we've had a scout team. What I found, and I'm sure it's not unique to, I'm sure it's not just unique to us, but what I found is that we have a five that may be really good, and then we don't have a five that can push that five, right? And that's what happens on the girls' side a lot of times. So, and I know there are people who sit in the stands and they'll say, "Oh, the girls just aren't getting any better." Well, it's hard to get better when you don't have someone to push you, And so once we started with our scout team, these were guys who were football guys, maybe they tried out for basketball, didn't make it. But they came in and they've been our scout team, and I've seen us grow and get better because of that, right? Because they're coming in and the level of athleticism that they bring, well, we know we're not going to see that in a game, right? But we see it every day in practice. And so it's helped us a ton. But like you said, the boys working with the girls and not looking past them, right? My best girls players in that gym went toe to toe with those boys every time they were in the gym, right?
Love
And trust you, there were some days when the scout walked out of there and it wasn't pretty for them that day,
it.
And so, but I love that they didn't come in and look beyond them just because they were girls. They came in and they approached it with a level of seriousness that allowed us to get better. And so I do agree. If we have that message and it's starting earlier that a basketball player is a basketball player, then I think we can have better results for our young ladies who are coming into the game.
Mm-hmm. 100%. We were emailing back and forth. You talked about the development of skills for your players, not wasting time, some of your philosophies. Would you share with us just a little bit of your philosophies offensively and defensively, and then how you attack that during practice?
So primarily offensively, we've been a dribble drive team. That's our base, is our dribble drive motion offense. We do have quick hitters. We had a lot of success when we ran some Iverson action. We put in some zoom this year, some empty side ball screen and stuff. Just we'll do those types of quick hitters, but at our base, we're a dribble drive team. And so our emphasis coming into this season in particular was to be able to put five players on the floor that can dribble, pass, shoot, score, and defend at a high level. And so I feel really good about how we were able to develop that because we were intentional. Ball handling, Dawn Staley said to us, we went to a camp 2 summers ago, I believe now, and she said to every camper there, she said, ball handling is the most important skill. And
No,
it
I
kind of
love
took me
this.
it kind of took
Oh
me back.
man, this
It
is
kind of took me
fantastic.
back at that point because I've always been big on shooting and whatever, but she said, no, think about it. Ball handling incorporates every aspect of the game, right? And so we really revved up, being a better ball handling team, taking care of the ball, valuing the possession. We preach those things, right? And so if we have less turnovers, we're not in defensive transition quite as much, right? And so that's made us better. So teams are going up against our set defense. So not wasting our time with our skill development. So ball handling, like I said, was top of the list. Obviously, being a dribble drive team, our thing is that we love layups and like threes, right? So we did get up a ton of shots, but I remember some years ago looking at some stats or some data that said that on average, a player at the high school level only shoots like 7 jumpers a practice. I thought, wow, that's not good at all, right? But I said, if everybody else is doing that and we're getting up hundreds of jumpers a practice, then hey, that should make us a little better. So we've definitely shot a ton of shots. We get downhill. We teach them that you don't have to be the best like one-on-one in space type kid to drive effectively, right? So we teach them what you're attacking, whether it be the outside hip, whether it be the low foot, whatever the case may be, what you're attacking when you're getting downhill, and then obviously how to finish when you get there. And that's where, I find the girls have more of a challenge is the finishing at the rim. A layup seems to be the toughest shot on our side, but we get enough of them and we convert enough of them, and we defensively, we clog up the paint enough that we don't give up a ton of layups. So the advantage goes into our favor there.
I love that. I mean, that was a great picture you just painted as far as your offensive philosophy in a nutshell. I think that was really good. Man, I like Don Staley a little bit more now because I've said it. Like if for any of our listeners who've been listening for like the past year or two, I've talked about, the most important skill for boys, shooting, most important skill for girls, ball handling. I just feel like that's something that as a in the girls game overall, I mean, and you look at the game today, it's like, boy, if you have a girl that can control pace, tempo, set the table and make things easier for others, all these things aren't even scoring, right? They're just being able to control the game, not turn the basketball over, handle pressure. And then you even get into attacking the rim, getting to the foul line, scoring. It's huge, huge, huge. And I feel like it's very interesting with, we're seeing there's different similarities and there's different differences in the men's game and women's game. And that specific skill, that's just so cool that Coach Staley mentioned that because I think more of us, we're in such a three-point craze that it's just like bombs away, bombs away, bombs away. It's like, well, if you can't get the shot because you don't have the ability to handle the ball, then what's the point of practicing all the shots? Hey, we shot 10% from the three last year. We better work on our shooting. It's like, actually, you need to work on your ball handling because you weren't creating the shots that you need, right? And so that's why you missed all those shots.
And I'll say that to your point, and this is not to offend anyone, but I promise you, there are many times when I'm talking to my staff where I say, hey, most teams are going to have one good ball handler, if that, right? If that on the girls' side. We can control one good ball handler. Like, we've got enough kids defensively that can bother one good ball handler. And that's just the reality of where we are on this side. So I do agree. Like, it is the most important skill for girls because you are right. Like, I remember seeing and coaching against Malaysia Fulwiley when she was in high school, and she could keep it on a string, right? So if you see her now at South Carolina, most of us in state were like, oh, yeah, we've been seeing that for a while now, right? But she was top of everybody's scout, but her ability to handle the ball, navigate pick and rolls, what she was really good at, and then just create, enough kids can't create enough separation at this level. So it kind of makes it a little easier some days when you're game planning defensively, because you just know they have maybe one good ball handler over there, and then obviously you look at how well, conditioned is that kid, and can we wear them down by halftime, and so and it's tough because you see the frustration on their faces a lot of times, and they're just like, oh, I need some help out here, but that's just the reality of where it is.
Get a couple girls that can handle the ball really, really well. And you'd be surprised at how much easier shooting gets, running your systems, finishing at the basket, all those things get just by having a couple players that can get where they want to out on the court. Coach, you mentioned, you're a true teacher of the game, not just an advocate for the game. I think one of the biggest compliments any coach can get is when someone else calls them a teacher. Right. And that's something that I try to embody with what I do is like, you know what? I could get you in and we could do a hard workout and you could be gasping for breath and it could be intense and that's great. But if I don't leave you with a better understanding of the game, that's all it was. It was a tough workout. Right. And I'm not trying to give you a same CrossFit. Right. I'm trying to leave you with a better basketball IQ. Right. Moving forward. Talk about some of the things that you try to implement and teach with your players that makes them a better not only when they're with you, but when they continue to work on the game, when you're not around.
I've found that the film helps a ton. So especially this year, we had three freshmen and an eighth grader on our varsity team, and we only kept nine kids. So you got to understand, we don't have like this large roster or anything like that. And so I knew that a lot of these younger kids were going to have to be in the mix to help us, So what we talk about all the time is let's get them from A to serviceable. We may not get them to B, but what does serviceable look like for this kid? And so we teach them within their role, you know, and sometimes it's a little harder than it should be because some kids want to be a shooter and they should be a drive first kid. But we explain to them why. Hey, you've got the best first step on this team. Or you're our best player off the ball. When you are active off the ball, look at how much better our possessions are. And we go through the analytics and we show them, you know, we're really good when we're in catch and shoot situations. We're really good when we can get 2 feet in the paint and get these types of looks. Like, so we always constantly just try to reinforce it with the numbers. And then they start to have success. And then that obviously feeds it, right? Because, hey, I'm being successful at this thing. Some of our games that we won this year were because we had freshmen who could go in there and defend at a high level. And so just to get them to buy into that and teaching them little nuances on the defensive side of the ball, you know, where their feet should be angled, where their hands should be, sometimes how to game the referee, you know, how to make a little contact without seeming like I'm making contact, you know, those types of things. So we're constantly teaching and reinforcing, teaching and reinforcing. I think my first couple years here helped me with that because we had to throw some young kids in the mix early. So we've gotten better at, well, how do we get these kids to come along faster? You know, I know in some programs they may bring young kids in and it takes a full season, but we don't want our young kids to take a full season to get there. We want them to be there by region play. So we're constantly reevaluating, benchmarking, how are they progressing? And we'll point them out on film, like, hey, you're really doing a great job at this and a really good job at that. And so, and then the other thing we do is we try to use little bite-size, you know, phrases that will make it easier to reinforce, but also easier to correct in game, you know. So, you know, something as simple as, you know, finish off two, right? Everybody hears that. But we're constantly reinforcing that in practice. Hey, if you finish off two, you know, or no long twos. We don't want that long two, you know, either get downhill or get through. You know, so but that's just within our system, it's what works. I'll brag on my kids a little bit. Last year in Hartsville, we were looking to hire a boys basketball coach, and part of the interview process was for them to go into the gym and demo like 15 minutes worth of practice offensively, 15 minutes defensively. Well, my players were used for this. And so these people are coming in with different philosophies and
What a
things that
great
they,
idea.
yeah, I thought it was too. And so they came in with all these different philosophies and our kids were able to just each coach, whatever they came in there with, they were able to just go. And I remember one of the boys coaches looking and said, man, those girls are really good, you know? And so, but again, you say that compliment piece, and I was like, well, you know, I took that as, wow, we really do a good job of teaching our kids the game. And I tell people all the time, our kids can adjust to any play style. You know, there are times if you watched us play this season, we were up tempo, full of pace, and then there were games when we had to slow it down and really limit possessions and be very efficient, you know. And so being able to execute in the half court, you know, that's the key. I tell people that all the time. If you can execute in half court, you got a good chance. And so I've just been proud of how we progressed in that way. I think our kids are pretty high IQ when you compare them to other kids at their age and grade. So I definitely take pride in that.
No, I agree. Having the chance to be in the gym just for a day with the girls in your program, and you can tell that they've been coached, you know. And I get the chance to work with so many different programs, and there every once in a while you go to a program, and you always walk in with an open mind, but at the same time you're hoping that there's some foundation of these kids haven't been coached in a certain kind of way. So that you can kind of pick up and go where you want to go throughout that session. And you're in that boat, right? Whereas every once in a while you go to another one, you're like, oh man, I got to start way farther back than I thought I was going to with this program. But a couple of things you mentioned with teaching that I think are great points of emphasis for all of us as coaches. You mentioned positive feedback. That's big. You mentioned video in short chunks. That's great. You mentioned having your own terminology, right? Something kids can remember. That's great. And then the other one that I caught was the reinforcing of the teaching. And I think that's something I need to get better at, because a lot of times as coaches, like, hey, we taught you that already. We taught you that earlier in the year. We taught you that earlier in, you know, a workout a month ago.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but I've been thinking that to myself every single day, and they haven't. So, continuing to teach something, even if it's what you've already been at, that reinforcement is vital. And I know I need to become better in that specific area myself.
Steve, I'll say,
Coach, how would you describe the game? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say to that point, and my friends who know I'm not an Alabama fan, but Nick Saban said this a few years back, and I picked it up and I ran with it. I said, we got to stop doing it until, you know, they say they've got it or we think they've got it, and we got to keep doing it until they can't get it wrong, right? And so that caused us to just shift the way we taught and how we approached it, you know, because I found myself the first 3 years in Hartsville saying, that's in the scout. What are we doing? That's in the scout. Right. And so, but then I had to take a step back and recognize, yes, but they didn't get it. They didn't get it. So we go over it and we're intentional and we constantly go over, and we don't really spend too much time on the other team's plays now because of that, as much as their concept. How do they want to play? Right. Do they want to play fast? Do they want to play slow? So the kids kind of understand how we're attacking those concepts. Offensively, where do they want the ball to go? You know, that type thing. So I just wanted to put that in there because I know it changed everything about how I approach teaching the game. And that was about 3 years ago when I saw that. And I said, you know what, Saban's right on that one. You know, you got to do it until they can't get it wrong. I think I would do it. I'd run a play. We go over play and they do it right one time. We think, okay, we can move on. Well, now the girls know we're going to sit there and we're going to do it over and over and over and over again until I feel confident everybody can't get it wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that, I think that's where the learning and the growing has happened.
Mm-hmm. That, and I love that you mentioned the teaching of the concepts instead of a specific set or a specific play. Yeah, asking yourself as a coach, how does this team like to play? What are the big picture things that we want to go over in a scout that we want our players to understand, instead of, hey, when it's this call, they run this, an empty side ball screen, and they run a double coming on the weak side for their shooter coming across, and they try to remember that. It's like, no, this player likes ball screen. This player likes post. This is their shooter, and here's some of the stuff. And I think that's much easier as a player, putting my player hat on, to be able to go in to matching up with somebody on the scouting report and getting that as the idea, instead of remembering, you know, what their plays are, things of that nature. Coach, this has been awesome. Any advice for a younger coach in the women's game? You said, you know, you kind of see yourself as that bridge between coaches that have been in the game for a while and some new ones coming up. Advice that you would give a younger coach taking over a girls program?
Well, first thing I would do is thank them, because I think the girls game, the women's game needs good coaches. I'll be the first one to say that. We need a better pool of talent when it comes down to coaches on the girls side. So I would say thank you. And then I would say, hey, coach, stay the course. You know, it's not going to be easy. It never is. You're probably going to realize that you care more about the success of your program than most people in the building. Right. And you just have to be OK with that. And then you have to be OK with, yes, that's their stance, but I'm going to make this the best program possible for our kids. I've coached boys and I've coached girls, and people often ask me, what's the difference? And I'll say that the one thing that stands out to me is that the girls, I feel, come to the sport for more of the social aspect of it. So find ways to tap into that social. We do a ton of team building, bonding, those types of things. Shaka Smart has what he calls energy giving behaviors. And his practices, we have those, you know, how many touches. So those are how many high fives. So go get three touches in between a drill, you know, those high energy things. And actually, my assistant coaches this fall, I allowed them to run a lot of our fall workouts, but I challenged them in their drills to have EGBs or energy giving behaviors somewhere in there, you know. So It may have been ball handling, but there's some touching going on player to player. Or in between a transition, there's some touches going on. Or they're encouraging certain things. So sometimes they're doing a drill and they're mirroring each other and they're just talking about their day as they're doing that drill, you know? And it seems cheesy to some folks, but those things I found absolutely gets you more engagement and it makes the practices a lot more fun for them. And that is what you want. So I would encourage any coach getting into it to find ways to not just be about drilling them and find ways to drill while also engaging them. And I think that's what any good teacher is going to do in the classroom, right? They're going to teach while engaging and they're going to try to pull that out. And I think basketball is the same. You know, it's your classroom. Try to engage them while teaching them, and that keeps them focused.
I love it. I love it. Coach, we finish out the podcast. Picks for the women's final four. Picks for the
Oof.
women's final four. Any standouts? Obviously, South Carolina is your odds on favor, so maybe it's not even worth asking. But what's your
Right.
predictions for the final four in the national championship?
That's tough because I've always been a UConn fan, and UConn's the underdog, surprisingly, this year. So I'm pulling for UConn. But no doubt about it, this redemption tour that South Carolina's been on. It looks like they're gonna seal the deal with it. I just think they have the best bench in the country. I think the numbers back it up. The eye test backs it up. They just get a ton of points off their bench. I don't think there's any team left in the tournament that does that. So that's who I would say is my pick. On the men's side, UConn looks really good. Purdue looks really good as well. So, and then NC State is just riding an incredible wave right now. So, although my gut says UConn wins it again, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those other teams gets them.
Well, you heard it here. We'll see. This will be out before the games are played, and so we're excited to see how your thoughts shake out. But agree, SC looks like they're on an absolute mission and just a machine that can't be stopped. But Coach, thank you very much for being on the Coach's Edge podcast. We certainly appreciate you. Appreciate everything that you're doing for the women's game in South Carolina, and best wishes moving forward with the Hartsville girls program.
All right. Thank you, Steve.